Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom, family. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your teacher, Sister Georgia. Today, family, is December the 20th, 2018, and we're getting ready to get back into our Father's Word. We've titled today's lesson, The Revelation of God With Us. The revelation or the revealing of God with us, okay? Remember, the word revelation is not speaking about something that is yet to happen in the future. It's something that has already happened, and it's a revealing, wisdom and knowledge. Okay, family, we're going to get right into it because I only have a 30 to 45-minute lesson, so let's just give thanks to our Heavenly Father. And, Father, we come together all in spirit across the four corners of the earth, Father, to lift up and praise your name. We thank you. We ask for a blessing over everyone who is under the sound of my voice. And we ask that you allow the spirit to flow as I read your words to your glory. Hallelujah. 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 All right. We're going to start. And I'm going to go more into this a little bit later. But it's first important to understand when we're talking about what was the purpose of the Father revealing to us in his word that, you know, Philip, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me, you know, God with us, Emmanuel, okay? What was the purpose? You see, you're supposed to understand this because those who have been teaching, who are sitting in Moses' seat and teaching the people, deceived the people, kept them in the flesh and led them away from the spirit. So right now we're going to give a spiritual understanding of the truth of, okay, we're going to give a truth to that. Why did they want to kill Jesus, Yahushua? Why did they want to do that? Go to John chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 15 through 18. It says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Because Yahushua just healed the man. He just healed the man. So he says, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Shabbat day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Shabbat, but said also that God was his Father, making himself the same as God. That's what that means, family. We're going to go into the word, understand what it means. They want to kill him because he was claiming to be God. Was he God? Well, we're going to see. According to the witnesses of this book that we say we believe in, what do they say? Let's go a little further. In John chapter 10, verses 30 to 33, it reads, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered Jesus, saying, good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, for speaking evil. That's what they're saying, family. Because that thou, what was he saying evil? Because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. The whole understanding of the new covenant is Emmanuel, God in the flesh. The prophets of old knew it, and you're going to see what the new covenant people try to tell you. But the way they worded it and the way they teach it, keep you in the flesh thinking you got a separate entity taking the whole world in. It's not our Heavenly Father. He has changed. Our Father says, I change not. Because the people of the Spirit who should have understood the Spirit were kept only in the flesh without the true spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge, family. Let's go to John 8, verse 12. We're going to see the Pharisees speaking with God, speaking with Jesus. Here's what's said to them. Pay attention. In John 8, verse 12, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If had known me, ye should have known my Father also. What is he saying? He's saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Where have we heard that from before? Let's go a little further into John. Let's leave John chapter 8, where it's Jesus or God speaking with the Pharisees in chapter 8 of the book of John. Let's go to where he's going to talk to one of his who can hear in John chapter 14, verses 8 to 10, where it's Philip and God speaking. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Now you see, he spoke to the unbelievers, the ones who would never believe, in John chapter 8, when they said, where is thy Father? Yeshua said, well, look here. You don't know my Father, you don't know me, because if you had known me, then you should have known my Father also. That's the same thing as in John 14, where Yahushua, Jesus, God, tells Philip, hey, have I been with you so long a time, yet you're asking me, show me the Father. Don't you know, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see? Two witnesses that testified the truth of this matter, as recorded in John 10:30. It tells us in John chapter 10, I'm going to read a little bit before it. It says, I'm just going to read it. John 10, verse 40. I and my Father are one. Okay, now that's Jesus testifying the truth. I and my Father are one. There's no division between us. We're one entity. Now remember, first, what God told Moses to tell the people and understand this spiritually. Here's what he was saying to them. Today, you better understand this word spiritually, because we're going to tie it in. It's going to be the same thing that's said in New Covenant. Pay attention. Deuteronomy 17:6. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses, shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. Of one witness, he shall not be put to death. Well, what is he saying? Family, all he's telling you is if two agree, it's good. But if there's only one witness, somebody just making a thought up their own vain imagination about this topic, well, there's no truth to it. So we're going to allow two or three witnesses and more to say the same thing that was said throughout the whole word. Okay, let's go a little further. Isaiah 7, this is an Old Testament witness. Isaiah 7, verse 14. He told us, the prophet Isaiah said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Go to the New Covenant, because Matthew is going to testify what Isaiah the prophet said. Matthew 1, verse 23. Behold, virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isaiah spoke about the revealing of God Jesus, and so did Matthew testify of what the prophet Isaiah said. This same child, Emmanuel, the interpretation of that is God with us. I don't know how clear you need to hear this, but I think the scriptures speak clearly. Go to 2 Corinthians 13. The Father lets us know in New Covenant, this is relating to the same thing we just read in Deuteronomy 17:6, where it says at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. It reads, this is the third time I'm coming to you. The Father's speaking to each and every one of you. Think about what he's saying. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. If two are in agreement, it's good. If you can only find this one little statement, somebody's taking it falsely in precept, they're stumbling because the Father has allowed that, but they're taking you with them. But he gave you the clue. If you can find one or two that agree on this topic, it's true. So he says, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Now, when I go into probably our next lesson, I'm going to bring this up again. I'm going to really hit it hard for what he's saying to you. What the Spirit through Paul, the Father's Spirit through Paul, is revealing to you. And you better get it, because this is very important. But he said the same thing. If we can establish something twice in the Word, we're saying the same thing, you must believe. Now, more witnesses to this truth that Jesus and God are one and the same, and Emmanuel, being interpreted, means God with us. Family, he's with us. Know this. Don't let nobody tell you that there is something else out there or something else new. They say old covenant, new covenant. This is a new something in the earth. They're taking those precepts in the old covenant and perverting them. We're going to learn the truth of what our Father is telling us. Pay attention. Now, we're going to get another witness, because Apostle Thomas called Jesus God. Now remember, he was doubting. Don't be a doubter. Understand what is truth. In John 20, verses 25 to 28, it reads, "The other disciples therefore said unto Thomas, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of nails, and put my finger into the prick of nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered," what did he answer by this? Because Thomas was doubting who this was he was dealing with. There is no Savior but one. We know in the New Covenant it says Jesus is Savior, but the Old Covenant says there is no Savior but me. So you better know who are we speaking about in the Scripture. When the revelation was given to Thomas, because Yahushua knew what he thought, he said, go ahead and put your finger in my hand, and I thrust it in my side. Okay, come on now, Thomas, you're going to get this, you're going to get this. And Thomas answered, when he received the truth by the Spirit, my Lord and my God. He called them my Lord and my God. Who was he talking to? Well, he was talking to Jesus, okay? Apostle Peter called Jesus God. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. It reads, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that to you in the New King James. It reads a little bit better for your understanding. If you go back to the New King James of what we just read in 2 Peter 1:1, it reads, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, a little bit of the flipping of the word. One reads, God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The other reads, our and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's our God. He's our Savior. Well, that's in line when we go to read Isaiah 43. Isaiah was of old covenant dealing with what people call God. Isaiah said in verse 3 and 11. I'm just going to read those two verses out of Isaiah 43. He lets you know, this is what the Father, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So when Peter quoted our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was he speaking to? One and the same. I and my Father are one. That's what Jesus said. The same entity. But if you're looking through physical eyes, you're going to say, well, one's a spirit and one was a vessel. Well, I got the explanation the Father gave it to me. Thank you, Father. And I will go into that another lesson, too, because many are still not getting it. You got to get out of the flesh and start flowing in the spirit. We know everybody in the flesh, but we flow in the spirit. We crucified the flesh. We don't lean on our own understanding, and we don't look for the things that we can see, but those things which are not seen. So don't look for the physical things. Have an understanding that this is a spiritual word. Let's go a little further. Apostle Paul called Jesus God. When you go to Titus 2 and 13, it reads like this. I'm only going to read it in the NIV, the New King James, because you can go to the KJV, but they put the word and to make it like two separate entities. But if you go to Titus 2, verse 13, in the New King James, here's how it reads. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Remember, there is no Savior, but as people know of the Old Covenant, God. Isaiah said that. Now we're reading in New Covenant, Paul, who was relieved of the flesh portion of his eyes where he could physically see things because the scales fell off, just like the man who, when Jesus rubbed the salve in his eyes, he couldn't see. First thing he saw was the spiritual. He rubbed it in again because the man saw trees. That's spiritual. When the salve was rubbed in his eyes again, he saw the people. Now, Paul, the scales were removed. He's starting to tell you spiritual things. So he's saying in the book of Titus 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I pray y'all getting this. Apostle John called Jesus God. Remember, the Father first gave this to me, I kept saying, well, wait a minute. The Word is Jesus, and he's the one that dwells among us. But here's the catcher of it all. Hallelujah, and thank you, Father, for showing me, revealing to me, giving me your spirit to see truth. Let the spirit decipher the truth out of these words. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know, if you're going to stay in the flesh, anybody can tell you the Word in John chapter 1, verse 14 tells you, and it dwells among us. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. Anybody can tell you that. But can anybody tell you that it's the same entity, but now the spirit has gone into a flesh body? Remember, Jesus said, preparest thou me a body, this spirit that we can call Jesus in the new covenant, because that's what they said. Oh, there was a son born to Joseph and Mary. He was in a flesh vehicle. Well, that vessel, that vehicle, they called it Jesus. But who was he? Originally, his first estate, spiritual, he was God. He was the Word in the beginning. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't that the same thing as Emmanuel, God with us? Hope y'all getting it. Pray y'all getting it. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten. The word begotten means of one's self-will. The only begotten, Jesus was the one by the Father, the only one. Okay, because that was the Father's Spirit that dwells among us, full of grace and truth. Now we're going to piggyback off that too. Timothy piggybacked off John 1.
when you go to Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. I'm going to read the words like they are so you can get it. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Well, did not John chapter 1 say, the Word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? Then you jump to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, if the Word was God, and that Word was made flesh, manifested itself in the flesh and dwelt among us, Timothy is saying, he's piggybacking off John, he's saying God was manifested in the flesh. That is the same as saying Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, I think I didn't say two or three witnesses here. I think I've been reading them. You got a book, open it. Isaiah the prophet called Jesus God. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All these titles go to Jesus, but Isaiah just called him the Mighty God. Okay, maybe we have learned traditions of men. Now let's let the Father Spirit teach us and show us the truth within these scriptures. God the Father called his Son God. Check it out. When you go to Hebrews 1, verses 8 through 9, but unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You see, family, a lot of times when you're reading this, if you don't understand, that's only one spirit. It says, our Father, God, what is he? Is he a man? No. He's a spirit. God is a spirit. Look at things on spiritual terms. There was one major spirit in the beginning. The Word was part of the spirit. All he did was take the portion of himself, which was the Word that called things into existence, and placed it in a vessel that we call Jesus. This was Emmanuel. Pray this is a blessing to you, family. I really pray that everybody is starting to get this. We have 6 minutes left. I wanted to really hit this home because there's a lot of scripture out there, family, that says the same thing. And if we're not going to lean on our Father's understanding by allowing the Spirit to decipher the truth in the lies, we will be deceived. Many who want to stone Yahushua for telling the same truth. He was saying, I am he. The word I am. The next lesson I do will be on the topic, I am he. He was letting them know who he was. That is why they want to stone him. The God of this world, at that time, before he resurrected, the God of this world, children of disobedience, who come against through unbelief of the truth, they keep you in the flesh. Remember, Jesus told you why he was in the flesh. God was in the flesh. He dwelt among us. Hey, he said the scribes and the Pharisees, they're sitting in Moses' seat. Okay? Moses got all his information from the Father. And if Moses and if Abraham would have been there right in the presence of Jesus in the new covenant, he would have told them, he was here before me. Jesus was there in the old covenant. But who was Jesus? Well, that was God that we're reading about in new covenant that dwelling among us. Remember I kept saying we've only been dealing with one entity in this book? Well, if you understand, there's many scriptures telling you there is no God but me. There is no Savior but me. I will not share my glory with another.
But we see Jesus being worshipped, Jesus forgiving sins. The scribes and the Pharisees want to kill him. You can't forgive a sin, only God. But many people don't realize, if you read in the scripture, they knew. They knew who he was. There's a parable I'm going to bring back up again if I do this lesson. I've already given it, but it's the one with the tenement. When the vineyard was given to the tenement, and when the owner sent his servants to collect the money or collect the goods, whatever, and they kept killing them. Well, when Jesus came, what they said was, oh, it wasn't said to them, but what they said was, oh, this is the heir. Okay, they were looking at Jesus. Okay, this is the heir, which means this is the one who the money and everything rightly belongs to. Okay, they knew. That's why he had to get killed off, remember? They said a king is born. King Herod said, I'm king. They're trying to take away the title, the total power and majesty from our father, but they can't do it. Only you can allow them to do it by not going true, going and speaking what is truth, because our father's word is truth. They got many devils, many devils. The word says, narrow is that way, but broad is that way for destruction. Narrow. The ones who put destruction. So there's many more the demon and devils. And what I mean by that is the spirits. Because I'm not looking at a vessel. I'm not looking at a man. I'm not looking at a woman. But I'm looking at the vessels. And these are the Father's people. But some are sheep and some are goats. Some are wheat and some are tares. You just got to understand this is a spiritual book. And it's about the Father and his people, and it's not changing. It's not bringing, per se, Jesus to take everybody in the whole world now into the covenant. It's not saying that. You know, we have to not lean on our own understanding or listen to every wind of doctrine. But if we can read witnesses in the scripture telling you the same thing, you must believe in the truth, family. So this is the revealing that God is Jesus in the flesh, Emmanuel. Okay, I'm going to leave it right there, and I pray that this has been a blessing to you. I want to thank those who have been supporting this ministry. I thank the Father for you, because I know the Father is dealing with you, and you hear him by spirit. You know what's in this. Tell you to give anything. You give from a willing and a free heart. You give in secret. I want to openly just say, may the Father bless you, give you the increase. Continue to walk, lead, guide, direct, decipher truth from the lies, and uncover those things that are hidden. Give you the discernment you need, and give you the spirit to speak. May the Father bless you. And I want to thank you from the deep part of my heart. I really appreciate all of you guys. All right. Thank you, and stay blessed, family. Okay. That's it, 60 seconds. Thank you and stay blessed. Shabbat shalom.